Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, and welcome to the Great Big Friday Show here on Catholic Answers Live. Thanks for being with us. Lots and lots of people on vacation, I think. The traffic has not been the same this week as it usually is. So maybe you are on vacation. I hope you are. Hope you're having a nice, relaxing time. Today, our topic, the effect of it is all in how you ask the question. Because the topic is, why aren't you Catholic? And we could ask that, like, why aren't you Catholic? You know, in a really annoyed way. Or we could do, like, why aren't you Catholic? Kind of a Captain Kirk way, you know, very dramatic. I'm not exactly sure how you meant it, so you'll have to tell us. Trent Horn is our guest. He's the author of a book called Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. He's an apologist and a masterful debater, and also he lives here now, so he's in the studio with us. Hi, Trent.
Hello, Cy. I think that if Captain Kirk were to say it, you would put a period at the end of every word in the sentence.
Oh, yeah.
Why aren't you Catholic?
Yeah, that's Spock. How we should say it. Yeah, right. So, and lots of people, I don't know, I do not want to shock you, Trent. I don't want to say things that that upset you, but there's lots of people that aren't Catholic. I don't know if you were aware of that. As you go around the world.
I had heard about this, but it had not been confirmed to me. No, actually, that's something I'm well aware of course, within friends, family, and many people. And that's why I like to ask the question, why aren't you Catholic? I think that all of us, regardless of our beliefs, we have a few things in common. We want to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
We want the truth. And what's interesting, I had a conversation with a young man who identifies as an atheist a few days ago, and I tried to find whatever common ground we could to start the conversation. So I asked him kind of just a philosophy question. I asked him, would you rather live a happy lie or an uncomfortable truth?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, uncomfortable truth. I'm like, well, that's good. That takes us a step forward, because people who say happy lie, it's kind of hard for me to make any progress in the conversation, because you don't care about the truth. You'd rather just be happy. But some people are like that, but most people aren't. Most people want to figure out what the truth is. And even if it's uncomfortable, they don't want to live in ignorance, live in deception. So that's why I think it's helpful to talk about why people who are not Catholic are not Catholic. I'm sure they have a reason of some kind, and I'd be interested in hearing it, and we could have a nice conversation about that.
888-318-7884 is our number if you would like to engage in that conversation. Everyone's welcome to call with their reasons. There are many Protestant folks who might want to call and tell us why they are not Catholic. Some who are not Christian, maybe not even members of what we sometimes call the Judeo-Christian tradition. Everybody's welcome to answer that question, and we hope engage in a dialogue about it with Trent, 888-318-7884. We do think of the question as not trivial, because the Catholic Church makes a claim for itself that I think most religions don't. As a matter of fact, I don't know of another religion that does. God came down, took the form of a man, and founded this religion. Can you think of anybody else who's?
Apart from Christianity? No, I can't think of that. Most other religions would talk about how God gave a special revelation to a prophet,
yeah,
or a special revelation to someone. Not that God himself became the very revelation and instituted a church to gather believers together. And that's unique within Christianity. And of course, Catholicism would make the claim that the church that Jesus Christ established did not go out of existence. The church is not merely an invisible bond of brotherhood between believers, and that you can believe whatever you want as long as you call yourself Christian, and
right,
that there is a real structure to the church Jesus Christ established, and that church persists to this very day.
Again, 888-318-7884 is the number. But if that did happen, if God became man, and especially, I guess this sweetens the pot a little bit, if God became man and made clear to us that we have been created in love, we are sustained in love, we're called to live eternally in love with God, that's a pretty big deal. You might want to be a part of that.
Right. You might want to indeed be a part of the household of God that 1 Timothy 3:15 calls the pillar and foundation of truth, the church of the living God, the household of God.
And is it fair to say that I'm not sure exactly how to ask this, but it is the case that I can live my life without really seeking to know whether or not that is true. But if I do seek to know it, I will have divine assistance and even a divine promise that I will, if I seek, I will find.
Well, that's what Jesus says frequently, both in the Gospels and then also in later other parts of the New Testament, the idea that I stand at the door knocking, and whoever opens, I shall enter. That those who seek after Jesus, who seek after the church he founded, will find that God is ready to provide grace for him or her to be able to do that. And one thing we do at Catholic Answers, though, is sometimes there are obstacles for people coming to know Christ or coming to know his church, maybe questions, misconceptions, errors people have heard. And we like to try to clear that away by having, you know, honest conversations with people about what issues they're struggling with right now.
A whole bunch of folks already on the lines to talk with you, Trent. Shall we go to a call?
Sure.
Again, 888-31-TRUTH is our number. Our question for today, why aren't you Catholic? How's that phrasing of it?
Sure. What? I think that's very hospitable to our
okay.
Callers.
Oh, that's what I was going for. Good. That's hospitable. Not critical. We go to Crito, listening on the EWN live stream. Do I have that correct? Did I pronounce it correctly, Crito?
No, it's actually Crito.
Crito. Okay, Crito. Why aren't you Catholic?
Well, I'm speaking on behalf of my family because most of them are not Catholic yet. Or, I mean, they're not really believers of the Catholic faith, but they are Seventh-day Adventists.
Mm.
And I want to tell them why the Catholic Church is the fullness of Christ's church. How can I tell them, and why is it the fullness of Christ's church that he established on this wonderful earth?
Sure thing. And Crito, I love your name, by the way. That is also a name that's shared by one of Plato's dialogues involving Socrates. Very good dialogue about justice. You wouldn't happen to have any Greek ancestry, would you? I'm just curious.
No.
No, it's still a good name nonetheless. So what's a good reason to be able to share with them? Well, first, I think we should... I think a good question to ask them would be, who founded your church? Did Jesus found a church? Did Jesus come and start a church? And when we read in the New Testament, we see that exactly was Jesus' goal, that Jesus didn't come to give us a Bible. In fact, prior to his ascension into heaven, he didn't write anything down. He didn't tell anyone to write anything down. But he did talk about the founding of the church. He told the apostles, "He who hears you hears me," how the church is built on the foundation of them, that in Matthew 16, Jesus specifically builds the church on the foundation of Peter, Simon, whose name is changed to Peter, that he tells him, "You are Peter, you are rock, and on this rock I will build my church." And I think one point you can bring up here is in Matthew 16:18, Jesus says, "The gates of hell will not prevail against it." So I think maybe you could ask your friends and family, where in the Bible does it say Jesus came and gave us the Bible? It doesn't say that. Did Jesus come to give us a church? Matthew 16, Matthew 18, Jesus talks about the church. He's coming to give us a church, the collection of believers under the authority of the apostles. So you could ask them, if Jesus promised the gates of hell would not prevail against the church, did that promise fail? Did the forces of evil prevail against the church Jesus started? And so we have to belong to the church that Ellen White started 1900 years later, 1800 years later. That's Ellen White is the founder of Seventh-day Adventism. So I guess you could ask them, well, which church should we be a part of? The one Jesus started that hasn't fallen away, or one that somebody started 150 years ago, 100 years ago, in the past few centuries? I think that might be a good approach to bring up, say, who started the church? If the church Jesus started did not fall away, if Jesus kept his promise, which since he's God, he would, what church can trace its lineage all the way back to the apostles? And the best contender for that would be the Catholic Church. So that might be one approach I'd start with by asking them, if we were supposed to belong to the church, which church? Who started it? Did Jesus start a church? and what happened to it. If you believe Jesus' promise and that the church did not fall away or die after he ascended into heaven, what church can go all the way back and have that historical connection? Seventh-day Adventism cannot. It's less than a few centuries old. So that might be one route that I would take. Is that a helpful start?
Yes, and actually I am one of the only family members that it has saw the fullness of the Catholic Church. Mm. And on this 2019, I will be baptized into the Catholic Church.
Oh, thank God.
Well, wonderful. I'm very heartened to hear that, and we'll be praying for your continued spiritual journey. A resource I'd recommend that if you stay on the line, I will happily send to you that might be good for you to read and then pass on and maybe get a few copies for your friends and family is my book, Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love. So stay on the line. We'll get you a copy of that book. And I think you'll be interested in chapters 10 and 11, which is why we aren't Bible-only Christians. And then also chapter 11, which is why we belong to the Catholic Church, not Seventh-day Adventism, not Lutheranism, not any other church, why the Catholic Church in particular. So stay on the line and we'll get you that book.
Thanks, Credo. Thanks very much. We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more asking you a question today. Why aren't you Catholic? Give us a call if you'd like to discuss that with us. 888-318-7884.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Debbie Giorgiani.
I'm a cradle Catholic, went to Catholic school, and I never really wandered from the faith. In fact, after having a taste of working in corporate America, I was literally pulled toward a more meaningful work. I began serving in ministry when I was just 21 years old, and I've never looked back since. I was not fulfilled working in a job where I couldn't talk about Jesus. I am most complete when the topic of conversation is God.
Take two with Jerry and Debbie, Monday through Saturday, noon Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Have you ever noticed that people only use the word spectacular in an ad? Well, we have a spectacular online event going on right now. It's our store-wide summer sale, which includes savings of 10 to 25% and more in some cases on every book, tract, CD, DVD, ebook, and MP3 we carry, including all the newest resources from my good friends Tim Staple, Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, and Carlo Broussard. With lower prices and a great summer selection, it is by far the most spectacular online Catholic summer sale. So log on now and all this month to the shop at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our very special prices. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers.
You've heard that St. Paul Street Evangelization supports hundreds of teams of evangelists sharing the good news. But did you know that some of these teams are public prayer stations? Set up a sign on the sidewalk and offer prayer and encouragement to those you encounter. Everyone needs prayer. Try this new method of witnessing to Jesus. Contact St. Paul Street Evangelization to get started at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Why aren't you a Catholic? That's our question for you today. If you'd like to discuss it with us, we're always grateful when people are willing to call and discuss these things. Dialogue is so good for all of us. And we like hearing it on the radio, too. 888-318-7884, the number. Trent Horn, our guest both hours today, author of Hard Sayings, Persuasive Pro-Life, Answering Atheism, What the Saints Never Said, and Why We're Catholic, Our Reasons for Faith, Hope, and Love, in addition to the – oh, God. Trent, help me out with the Ignatius Press one. I'm sorry. It's Friday.
The case that you
carry Catholicism around in or something.
A for effort. The case for Catholicism.
Oh, yeah, that one. Okay, right. A case for your Catholicism.
Answers to classic and contemporary Protestant objections.
Man, you write a lot of books. It's like a stack here of books.
I write a book when I realize that one of my furniture is like wobbly. So I write a book and then a year later I get it and I can slide it under there.
Well, that is a really – you must have a lot of wobbly furniture then. And some of this is – like, look at the size of hard sayings. That's like a leg is missing from that table.
Yeah, that was from a very troublesome coffee table. Otherwise, I have not found another efficient means of propping up my furniture.
If there's a better reason than that to write a book, that you need something to stick under the wobbly furniture, I have not heard it yet.
Neither have I.
Your motivations are as pure as can be. Let's go to Katie in Tennessee, listening on 99.3 FM. Katie, why aren't you a Catholic?
Hello.
Hi.
I need no further convincing theologically or spiritually. I'm convinced the Catholic Church is the home church.
Amen.
I live in Protestant land here in the southeast of the United States. Mm. And I didn't even know a Catholic until I was 21 or 22. Mm. So it is very scary for me, who I work at my church, I volunteer at my church, you know, to completely transplant my family into, I guess, a family that I don't.
Nope.
Katie?
Oh, they got her. They got her. Sorry.
Her
church came and got her.
Yeah, the Protestant land must have very good phone monitoring services.
Katie, call back.
We were cut off from you, Katie, unfortunately.
It's probably lightning or something.
I'm hoping if you do hear this, please call back, Katie. We will move you to the front of the line.
You'll be the first call we'll take.
You know what's funny, Si? Yeah. I sympathize with Katie because when I used to do pro-life mission work, we did a few events down in Alabama and Georgia, in the Deep South. And we would stay with host families and stay with others. And some of the Protestant leaders in our group, they were familiar with us as Catholics. They said, you know, a lot of people around here have never met a Catholic, so they might be put off. And, you know, if you do the sign of the cross before your meal blessing. And they weren't telling us outright, but it made it seem like we shouldn't do those things so as not to, you know, freak people out. And I said, well, no, I'm not going to do that. I will still act as a Catholic, but I'll gladly explain what I'm doing. And people in these parts of the country, they were just amazed to be able to speak to a Catholic and say things like, I didn't know you all believed in Jesus.
Yeah, right.
And I was just so amazed by that. Like, wow, you have been told something totally off from what we believe. And so I give a lot of praise for Katie, and I hope she calls back and we'll bring her back to the front of the line.
So when you were there, did you make sure to worship statues? No.
Oh yeah. I love the joke by Patrick Majid and Carl Keating. I brought a giant statue of Mary with several children bowing down to her because we want the statues to worship the statues too.
There you go. Yeah. Fair enough. There are. I'll tell you what though. Like when you're in Alabama or Louisiana has lots of Catholics, maybe Georgia or I'm trying to think where else. You tend to get a very close knit Catholic community because. Now I suppose there's a lot more people moving from the north to the south, but there's something about being in the minority and being a very slight minority that, you know, helps people learn each other's names.
You don't take it for granted that you're a part of the faith because whenever sacrifice is involved, you don't take things for granted. That's true for our faith and other things as well.
Dana in Garden Grove, California, you are up next. Dana, why aren't you a Catholic?
So I'm not a Catholic. I think that there's this fundamental flaw in all of Christianity. You could throw Islam and Judaism into this too, in that those religions are not based on God's creation. They're based on the study of ancient books. Trent does a lot of speaking. I'm kind of a fan of Trent Horn, actually. So
that makes one of us. Me too. Sorry. Go ahead, Dana.
Okay. Anyway, he does a lot of speaking about abortion. Frequently, he'll be talking about contraception, and he's using this term nature's law. That's kind of undermining it. That is the laws of the way God has organized the universe to work, the way that life is brought into the world. That's not nature's law. That's how God designed it. And he makes good points when he does that, when he sticks to the design that God has. He comes up with these great points. But then we open up the ancient books and we get the interpretation of the teachings of the Catholic Church and we throw God's creation right out into the rubbish bin and ignore it, and we come up with all of the supernatural stories that are in the Bible that are like this blasphemy to God's creation of the universe and how life exists.
Dana, let me jump in here because I want to see what you're getting at. First, I usually don't use the term nature's law. I talk about natural law, which is something that is a part of God's eternal law. Natural law is just the natural order of the things that God has created, how they should function, how what their proper end is. So, you know, what is the proper end of a tree? What is the proper end of an animal? What is the proper end of a human being? What makes someone a good human being versus a bad human being, like in our moral behavior? So I believe that natural law, the way the world ought to be, ultimately comes from God's eternal law because he did create the world. So one way we can know God's will is through natural law. We can know by just reflecting on the nature of created things, hey, this is how it should be. And we look at human beings, this is how they should be based on their nature. But that doesn't mean we can know every important thing about the universe just from natural law alone. Sometimes God may want to just directly tell us what he wants us to know, and that would be divine revelation. And one way of divine revelation that's been given to us is God's word in sacred scripture. And it was given to us 2,000 years ago. That doesn't make it ancient, but just because something's ancient doesn't mean that it's wrong. So I guess, can you give me a specific example where something the Catholic Church believes from scripture contradicts what God has created? I'm not quite following you.
Yeah, I could probably give you 10, but let's just start out the ancient books of the Bible. They start with the words of a conjurer, presto, let there be light. And then just a few pages later, the creator of the universe, God himself, by chapter 6, is the fool of the story. So this is how one of the ways we know that these ancient books are false. The other ways that we know that these ancient books are false is you have the virgin birth of Jesus.
Well, wait, let's go back to that, because I'm not sure what you mean by this. The book of Genesis simply begins, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's not saying God's a magician or anything. I mean, he makes something from nothing. That's a display of his almighty power. And verse 3, God said, let there be light. Now, the Catholic Church was teaches that these first few chapters of Genesis are written in a symbolic way. We shouldn't necessarily read this as, oh, this is a newscaster or, you know, reporting, or this is a transcript of what happened chronologically. And I talk about this in my books and in other resources, that Genesis is the way for the sacred author to communicate sacred truths about God, that God exists, God made the universe, God made human beings in a special way, told through the genre of epic poetry, which may use figurative language. So how is there a contradiction if I say, I look at the world, it appears to be designed by God, the Bible says God made the world. Where's the contradiction?
Why would the creator of the universe inspire man to write a book that makes a fool of him?
Where does the Bible make God a fool?
He creates the universe in chapters 1 and 2, and by chapter 6, he's so disgruntled with the violent nature of man that he has to use violence to kill all the men, except, I guess, for the 8 people on Noah's Ark. Mm-hmm. This happens right away. You also know there is no such thing in God's creation as a talking snake or a talking donkey, yet these things occur in the Bible.
Let me ask you a question. Dana, do you believe God exists?
Yes, the creator of the universe is the true God. The God that has been made up by the first century writers in these ancient books is just
Dana,
a blasphemy.
Let me ask you
God.
Another few questions. Is God all-powerful? Can he do anything logically possible?
He's powerful enough to make the universe, and that's a lot of power.
So if God can make a universe, could he make a snake talk?
No, he didn't make snakes talk.
How do you know?
Knows this. It's objectively obvious to every person that ever lived that snakes do not talk, nor do donkeys talk.
Dana, I'm not asking do snakes talk or do donkeys talk. And for the record, I believe that the first chapters of Genesis, it may record something literal, or it may be recording a figurative story using these symbolic elements like a talking serpent to describe the real historical fall of man. But even if this is a literal description of a talking serpent. Here's my question. If God can make a whole universe, can he also, in theory, make a snake talk?
I'll answer your question, then I'd like to make a comment without you interrupting me with another question, which is one of your very clever tactics. Yes, God could make a snake talk, okay. But he didn't do that. And we know that he didn't do that because we have that experience. And then you yourself are so embarrassed by the story of this talking snake that you have to change it to the fall of man or original sin. Those words don't actually appear anywhere in the story at all. The story is about a talking snake that convinces a man and a woman to eat a piece of fruit.
And they're expelled from paradise.
And that is not the way that God designed things to work.
Okay, unfortunately,
We got to take a break. Dana, stories do have different levels. I'm sure you're familiar with that idea. They operate on many different levels. Trent will address that if he likes when we come back, but we got to go. We'll be right back after this with more Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live. The only thing missing from today's broadcast is you. Call now with your question.
Did you know that Catholic Answers Live is on TV? What began as a monthly series on EWTN in April of 2017 is now going to be coming to you on a weekly basis. You can catch Catholic Answers Live TV Saturdays at 5 p.m. Eastern Time on EWTN with an encore at 2:30 a.m. on Sundays. We'll also be available soon on Apple TV, Roku, and the Augustine Institute's multimedia platform, Form. Make a point of making Catholic Answers Live TV part of your weekly viewing. And we'll see you on the airwaves.
Tim Staples, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, Chris Check, Carlo Broussard. Our On Fire lineup of speakers will inform and inspire your audience to grow in their Catholic faith. For more information on booking a Catholic Answers speaker for your event, visit CatholicAnswersSpeakers.com today.
Archbishop Charles Chaput of Philadelphia says of why we're Catholic, clear, practical, simply organized, very readable, and rich in content. It's a pleasure to recommend it. Bishop Thomas Olmsted of Phoenix says, "This book is made for the challenges of our times. I highly recommend it." Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking resource by apologist Trent Horn. That one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into, or back to, the practice of the Catholic faith. Plant seeds of faith in the hearts and minds of your non-Catholic friends and family. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today. You can order your copies of Why We're Catholic by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
I'm Tom Price.
And I'm Gloria Purvis. Monday, Monsignor Charles Pope.
And we'll talk sacred music with Adrienne Price. Join us Monday for Morning Glory, 7 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Summer is in full swing, and it's a Friday. And that means it's hot and time to have a little bit of fun. And while we talk about some serious issues, Trent Horn's here with us. Trent's apologist here at Catholic Answers, and he writes a book. Almost every time he sits down, he puts out a book. So that's not true, really. You sit down more than...
I sit down a bit more than writing books, probably more common activity, though I do sit down when I write books.
You are a prolific person, though. Like, you're a hard worker, Trent. People don't see this, but I see you. You know, you spend hours a day wandering aimlessly around the offices.
That's true.
And then you get to work.
That is the way I have to gather the thoughts first. I have to collect them. I'm a pacer. I am a pacer by nature.
Yeah.
And as for being hardworking, I believe I'm probably more of a smart worker than a hard worker. I just put a little mirror up by my office, and if I see someone's about to round the bend, quick, turn the laptop up. And,
that's okay.
So work smarter, not harder. But I still manage to get those books written and to help people and help people like our previous caller, Dana, who I enjoy talking to and be happy to speak to in a future episode. It's just... given the constraints of live radio, we can't have extended conversations.
He didn't stay either. He left the break.
Well, maybe he'll call back. But I do find it interesting, before we return to our other callers, because I think we have Katie on the line, and I really wanted to speak with her.
She's all right.
We will bring her on here in a minute. I find an interesting side that many people won't be Catholic or are not Christian. It seems like they have two views of the Bible. It's either this is a literal description of events. Like the Bible is basically like some one person's diary about the past and God's dealings in the past, or it's complete fiction. Mm-hmm. That like people have no room in the middle for different genres.
It's very American.
Kind of, yeah. It's just like it's fundamentalism. Either you are a biblical fundamentalist who says the text just says what it says, it means what it means, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you are a modernist, sometimes atheistic fundamentalist who says this whole thing is just fiction.
Yeah.
As in, well, wait, what about different genres? And I think Dana brought up the point, well, you're just inventing that it's symbolic to get out of the embarrassment. That's not true at all, because if this were literal and God made a snake talk, made Balaam's donkey talk.
I'm fine with that.
I'm not embarrassed by that, because if God is all powerful, he can do anything. I don't see how the miracle of a talking animal is different than the miracle of raising somebody from the dead. It's easier to get an animal to talk than raise somebody from the dead. They had that show with a talking horse a few years ago, right?
Mr. Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it was a fine show, but he didn't actually talk. I don't want to shock you.
What?
There was some special effects used there.
I can't believe it.
It was the magic of television.
So that's what we have to look at. Say, no, there are different genres in scripture still, that when we look in the text itself, there are clues based on the style, the tempo of the story, to see what the author is trying to speak about. And I talk about that in my book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible.
Oh, we should have given that to Dana. But then Dana did leave quickly. But
if Dana calls back, I will get him Hard Sayings, and hopefully he will enjoy that.
Yeah. Katie in Tennessee called to say that she believes that the Catholic Church is the church that Christ founded. She herself is a Protestant in a very Protestant part of the country, and she's not so sure about how to come into the Catholic Church. Katie, what on earth happened?
I'm not sure.
Okay, fair enough. As long as you're all right. Your answer to why aren't you Catholic is, I want to be Catholic.
Just not quite sure
I don't know how to do it.
It's intimidating to be a good Protestant in our good Protestant world and go into something that I don't know much about, other than what I've read over the years and watched over the years and listened to you guys. So I wouldn't know how to take my family into something that I even feel a little unsure of myself.
Right.
Just in terms of the changes, raising a family a little bit differently and all of that. It seems like a big pill to swallow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Now, Katie, is your family on board with this? Do they identify as Catholic, or is it more just this is what you're doing?
It's me. My children are small.
I see.
But it definitely would be a shock. I mean, Protestant churches are very evangelical, and, you know, the worship is very different. The services are very different. I mean, it would be a culture shock for sure. They'd probably be kicking and screaming, but again, I do think I'd be making the right choice.
Sure. Now, are
for
you
them in the long run?
Are you married, or?
I am.
How does your husband think about all this?
He is not what you would call a good Protestant. I think he would go with the flow, but
he's not that religious of a person.
Journey. Right, and I've been a Christian since I was, seven, or as we call born again. Right.
Yeah.
I don't feel from the Catholic community so much of an outreach. I think there's a lot of us that really love the Catholic Church, but we don't know how to get there.
I know.
Exposed.
Do you know where your parish is, like a local parish near you, or no?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I would recommend, Katie, just first off, to go to the Catholic Church near you and just to inquire. You can speak with the priest and sit down with him and tell him how you're feeling. And if you wanted to come into the church and be received into the Catholic Church, the normal process, it's not always required, but the normal process is the rite of Christian initiation of adults, or what's called the RCIA program. Have you ever heard of that before?
I have. Mm-hmm. I have.
Yeah, so I would just go to your nearby parish and say, do you have an RCIA program? Or is there, could I speak with the priest about this? And what that would entail then is for you to be formed in what the church teaches, to understand what the Catholic Church teaches. And once you're properly disposed to receive the sacraments, if you are validly baptized in the Catholic, or sorry, validly baptized in a Protestant church, were you baptized?
I was.
Okay. Then probably you would not need to be baptized again, because we believe all Christian baptisms are valid, but you would receive the sacrament of confirmation and First Communion probably at the Easter Vigil. In fact, many RCIA programs usually start their formation period in the fall. And if you have trouble at the parish near you, if you feel like, oh, they're not working with you well, because, you know, don't confuse the church Jesus founded with the bureaucracy you can deal with at certain levels of it. As you know, in Protestantism, people can mess up the whole works. That's just in any church. I will make sure to send you, though, a copy of my book, Why We're Catholic, which when I was converting and was received into the church in high school, I wish I had had a book like this. So do stay on the line. We'll get you a copy of Why We're Catholic. And I think that will just be good reading for you. Your husband, I think, would find it interesting as well, and fill in a lot of the gaps you might be having so you can understand what the church believes, so you can fully affirm that to come into the church. So go to the parish, ask about RCIA, talk to the priest if you have to. If this parish is giving you trouble, because look, remember this too. If you're trying to enter into the Church of Jesus Christ, the devil will throw anything he can at you to stop you, including ignorant and rude Catholics, one of his favorite weapons. So just don't let that intimidate you if you do come across that. I'll ask our listeners to pray for you on this continuing journey. So that, I think, would be helpful. And also, I'd like to give you this helpful bit of advice. So with your Protestant friends, your Protestant family and friends, tell them that by becoming Catholic, you don't have to stop being a good Protestant in the sense of the things that are very virtuous among Protestants and evangelicals. So, for example, Protestants know the Bible. Many of them know it backwards and forwards. Well, like when you go to Mass, you'll hear the Bible constantly. You go 3 years at daily Mass, you hear the majority of it. So to say, look, I can still understand the Bible deeply and thoroughly, be able to quote it. If we want to worship together as a community at the Catholic Church, I can go every day for Mass, every day to celebrate our Lord and the Eucharist he gave us. There's not many Protestant churches that have services every day. So I think many of them can see, especially if you see the biblical roots of our faith, then I think that can impress many of them and actually be a witness to them to say, hey, here's Katie. Katie knows the Bible. She loves the Lord and she's Catholic. That's very interesting. So you may find interest more than animosity. So is that helpful?
It is. And can I give a 10-second word of encouragement to other Southeasterners maybe near me?
Absolutely. Go right ahead.
I started out of faith to say the rosary.
Yeah.
Every morning, and I was saying it online on YouTube with a group of people, and next thing you know, my tennis partners are Catholic. My Uber driver was Catholic. I mean, everybody I met in a museum or a grocery store was Catholic. It was like God started giving me Catholics in my life.
Oh, well, praise God for that. That is beautiful testimony. We're really big in the Uber and tennis areas, though. That's a big Catholic thing.
Well, good. Well, Katie, I hope this is helpful for you. Please stay on the line. We'll send you Why We're Catholic, and that'll help you. But yeah, go to your parish to inquire about RCIA. Have any problems, try the next one, or give us a call back. We'd be happy to give you a helping hand as well. So
thank you
for calling in.
And Katie, do you know that we do open forum here on Tuesdays and Thursdays? You can call with any question any Tuesday and Thursday you want.
Okay, great.
Because it would be great to just kind of hear how you're doing and keep in touch.
Oh, thanks so much.
Well, thank you very much. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. Why aren't you Catholic? It hadn't occurred to me, Trent. It had occurred to you, but not to me, that sometimes it's just a practical thing. I don't know how to become a Catholic.
It can be intimidating. Well, what am I supposed to do? Especially if you don't know people who are Catholic. It was easier for me because I had friends who I befriended in high school, went to a youth group with them, and was filled in. I had seen people become Catholic before I did. So it's not as jarring of experience. But if you don't know, it's like, well, do I just go to the parish? Am I supposed to sign this form and then it's done?
Right.
What happens?
And do they even want me?
Oh, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, don't let – and this is something we should work on in all our parishes, to understand that Catholicism, the Catholic Church, is not our little secret or our little thing that we go to and then hustle out of the parking lot as quickly as we can when we're done, that this is something we should share with others. I mean, if you see a movie you really like, you're never embarrassed to tell people you've got to go see this movie. You know, I was never embarrassed to tell people they should go see Infinity War, for example. I said, this is a really cool and interesting movie. So if you're not embarrassed to talk about your favorite movie, your favorite TV show, why would you be embarrassed to talk about the church Jesus gave us, the Eucharist he gave us? Don't don't be at all. Just share it with honest joy.
Right. I love My Little Pony, and I'm not ashamed. 888-318-7884 is the number. Why aren't you Catholic is our question. If you're on the line, hang on. We're going to get to you in just a minute. We just have to take this quick break, and then we'll do that right after this.
Catholic Answers Live with Trent Horn is coming right back.
Do you enjoy tedious lectures full of facts you'll never use? We didn't think so. That's why we're launching the Council of Trent, Trent Horn's engaging new podcast. Every week, you'll get lively lessons in Catholic teaching, as well as a new conversation roadmap that will help you share your Catholic faith with anyone, anytime, anywhere. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com now to find out how you can subscribe to this exciting new podcast.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our fifth annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there.
We've had a wonderful time going home all enthused.
Every time we come here, it's just an incredible experience.
Normally, you'd have to root through a dozen different books to get half the stuff I've learned here.
These guys are so amazing. I always get so much, learn so much. I've already signed up for next year.
Join us this September 27th to the 30th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. All of your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and special keynote speaker, Raymond Leo Cardinal Burke.
I enjoy the atmosphere and the friendliness of the people, and I'm having a great time.
I love it. I love it. I'm so glad I came here.
I've just learned so much. You know, I've been a Catholic all my life. It's just been so wonderful.
I love it. I want to come back every year.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
EWTN, communicating the faith.
And I wanted to tell you guys how great your show is because I listen to you guys for every day for the last past 5.5 months. It's because of you guys that I came to the Catholic faith. Now I'm going to church on Sunday for the first time because I just got out yesterday from jail. And I got my mom to go too. And my girlfriend is also going with me. Wow. She's willing to give the Catholic faith a try.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic. Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Trent Horn is our guest for 2 hours today, enjoying a nice, relaxed Friday where we want to hear from you about why aren't you Catholic. If you're not a Catholic and you'd like to share that with us, we would be very grateful. We enjoy the conversation and the dialogue. 888-318-7884 is the number. Would you take somebody who – well, I guess you would. I don't know. But there are many people who were Catholics, are no longer living or practicing their Catholic faith.
Sure, yeah. But what I mean by why aren't you Catholic would be why do you not belong to the Catholic Church or why do you no longer practice the Catholic faith? Because technically, someone who is a baptized Catholic who just hasn't been to Mass in a very long time is
still Catholic.
They're still Catholic, but they're not practicing their faith. And that's a question in its own right to be deserved. Well, why not?
888-31-TRUTH, if you'd like to talk with Trent. Trent also does a podcast. It's called The Council of Trent, but it's C-O-U-N-S-E-L, not Council, Council of Trent. How's it going over there?
It's great. We do at least one weekly podcast, if not more episodes per week. And I focus on very practical things for how to defend and explain the Catholic faith, how to understand it. We've had some great interviews recently with Archbishop Samples, for example, on the Catholic Answers River Cruise about sacred liturgy. Next week, I'm going to be launching another episode about how to share the faith on social media and to avoid the pitfalls of sharing your faith online and things like that. So I want them to be practical, how to explain difficult concepts, like in the most recent episode, talk a lot about the Eucharist and the Mass. And I really want that to be something practical, short, 20 minutes or so, listen on your commute, and things really build people up. And people can learn about it at TrentHornPodcast.com. If they become a subscriber to the podcast at TrentHornPodcast.com, they get access to open mailbag shows where you can submit questions to me, live Ask Me Anything video sessions with me. We just had one on pro-life, actually. You type your question, and I'll interact with you on a YouTube live feed. And if you subscribe at the silver medal and up, you get a T-shirt. So who doesn't like a T-shirt, right? Do you have – and he has it.
Does it look like this?
It does look like that. Our Facebook Live can see the Council of Trent with the logo that has a guy who looks like me or Shia LaBeouf, maybe. I'm not sure.
I think he looks way better than Shia LaBeouf. Okay, that's got to be you.
So, I think that might be... That might be helpful in that regard. TrenthornPodcast.com.
888-31-TRUTH. Our number. We go now to Emeka in Houston, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Emeka, thank you so much. Why are you not a Catholic?
Well, thanks for taking my call. I will ask you, what's the big deal about becoming a Catholic? You know, that's why I just called, because I'm listening through your conversation with people. You know, you guys have been talking about the Church Christ established, you know, Christ founded and everything. I mean, what difference does it make? And besides, many Catholics I've spoken with don't even know why they're Catholics. They only go to church. But if you speak with evangelicals, they know why they are Christians. You know, they're very eager to go and preach the gospel. The Pentecostal are very eager about the Holy Spirit.
Sure.
The Catholics can't even, and nobody, none of the Catholics that I've met has been able to make a good case for Catholic Church, or maybe defend. And then,
well, that's all about to change, though, Emeka. Let's hang on, because I want to give Trent a chance to respond. Mm-hmm. So why is it such a big deal, then, to be Catholic?
Sure, Emeka. Well, I would say the big deal is that God has a very specific plan for how he wanted to save the world and bring all people together in the new covenant so that we would all be one. In John 17, Jesus prayed to the Father that believers would be one, just like he and the Father are one. But when you look in Christianity, all the different Christian churches, you don't see unity. People disagree about baptism, about whether you can lose your salvation. Are you saved by faith alone? What do you have to believe about all these different things? What about abortion, contraception, homosexuality? Lots of differences and diversity. You don't have that unity that Jesus talked about. So we would find that unity if Jesus established a church. Does that church still exist today? And in particular, what is the role of that church? Now, the reason that I'm Catholic is because God gave us a church, and through the church, we have sacraments that God can give us his grace, the grace that takes away sin and makes us adopted children of God. 2 Peter 1:4 says that we become partakers of the divine nature. God wants us to be adopted children. So when we're baptized, we enter into his new covenant family, and then we're fed and we're nourished with the Eucharist. There's lots of different reasons people can give for being Catholic, but one that just jumps out from my heart to share with you would be the Eucharist, that Jesus says in John chapter 6, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. And we see from the very earliest Christians, they believed that the bread and wine at Mass, that the first Christians, they celebrated Mass, the same that Catholics do today, that they believed the bread and wine at Mass is not merely bread and wine, but it becomes the body and blood of Christ for us to receive so that Jesus can fulfill his promise when he said we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. So there's different ways that I might go at it. But one point I want to bring up with you, you said, well, Catholics, many of them don't seem motivated to defend and explain their faith. But I see these evangelicals, they're motivated, they're dedicated. But I caution you, motivation and dedication is not a foolproof sign that a faith is true. For example, many Muslims are motivated and dedicated to share and explain their faith. They're very dedicated. They love to debate people and share why they're Muslim. But of course, that doesn't mean Islam is true. So I think we should judge the merits of a church based on the evidence for it in Scripture and also in the history of the church. So that's one thing I would bring up would be the Eucharist. One other point would be this. Emeka, what's your guide? Like, what do you use as a standard to determine if you are being a Christian God wants you to be or not?
Well, thanks for that question. I'm a Christian, and I believe that if I...
You believe what?
I believe in Christ.
Okay.
And I go to church, I listen to the word, I try to share the word. And then, like the Eucharist you talked about, we do our the Lord's Supper, and everybody partakes, and you know we are already grafted in the you know, in Christ, and we just have to do what he told us to do in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter if you belong to a church or not, because all Christians, I mean, I don't see the difference. And no Catholic has been able to make a good case why
here's where I wanted to go through this. The Eucharist might be something we have to bracket to discuss, though I think you and I view the Eucharist very differently. But it seems like you say you spread the word, share the word. The Bible is your main authority.
Emeka, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where does the Bible say it should be our main or highest authority or even our only authority? Does the Bible say that's where our authority should lie?
Well, there are some things that are not contained in the Bible, like altar call and even the mode of baptism, you know, how to administer baptism. You know, some things we have to apply our human, you know, that's why God gave us brain.
But
to Catholic Church.
But Emeka, that's really... so it sounds like you're saying that the Bible doesn't actually say that it's our highest or only source of authority when it comes to doctrine. So I guess, like with Jesus, what Jesus taught, did he teach people to follow? Did he talk about the Bible or the church?
Well, he talked about the church. And what I understand is that the church is a people set aside. So, I mean, we bring in denominations and we are, you know, like Catholics claiming that they are the ones founded. I mean, it brings division.
Emeka, let me ask you a question. You say the church is the people. Do you mean all Christians are the church?
Yeah.
How do you know that that's the definition of what the church is?
Well, the church is a people set aside, you know, for Christ, by Christ, you know, just like, you know, Paul was called, and his friend were called in Antioch, you know, Christians, because they knew that they were different from the Jews. Mm-hmm. So they were preaching the gospel, the good news. And if you believe in your heart and follow Jesus Christ, you know, keep the commandments, you're a Christian. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be, even if you're a Baptist or Catholic, or, you know, it doesn't make much difference. You know, this is a human invention. And besides, I've spoken with a lot of, you sound a very smart man. I can tell you that. I mean, you sound better than a lot of Catholics that I've spoken with. Mm-hmm. But nobody has been able to make a good case why I should.
Right. And what I'm trying to make the case here is that you see the Bible as an authority. But for me, I don't see where the Bible is saying all you have to do is follow Jesus or believe in Jesus. The Bible talks about authority first being given to the apostles and then to those that they raise up as bishops or as presbyters, as elders and overseers. That Jesus says in Matthew 16 that he has the church, but he talks about it being built not just on all Christians believing, you know, just one, you know, all Christians who say, well, I believe in Jesus, but things about the Eucharist or baptism, things like that. Well, you can disagree about that. He talks about it being built on the apostles and specifically on the apostle Peter. So Jesus says to him, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. That the very first Christians, they didn't have a Bible. So they weren't like modern evangelicals. They listened to the authority of the apostles. And so what I would ask is that if Jesus established a church, I think we both agree that Jesus came and he gave us a church. Does that church have hierarchical authority like what the first church had with the apostles? Did that church continue or did it just kind of gradually fade away so that there's no authority except Scripture, which Scripture itself never says that it's this particular kind of authority for people? So I would recommend that you could check out our website at Catholic.com. And also we have other resources I think that would help you to see that there are good evidences that the Catholic Church can trace its lineage, that the doctrines it teaches going all the way back to the first Christians, the people that we should be like, and that the Bible itself, the Bible came much later. The Bible came from the church, actually, not the church from the Bible, which is the other way around.
Amica, we'll have to leave it there. We're very grateful for the call. Thank you. Please call anytime. We do that open forum Tuesdays and Thursdays, and you're always welcome then as well. We're going to continue with our discussion, Why Aren't You Catholic? Folks who are on the line, please stay on the line because we're going to take just a few minutes break, and we'll be back with more Trent Horn on Catholic Answers Live right after this.